This is a one-time opportunity. Children grow and leave home. First, let us make home as happy as possible. Some homes give children no other option than to run away. A home was never meant to be a penitentiary or a reform institution. Children usually go outside to find what they should experience inside. Children suffocate and shrivel where the environment is sour. Children are built for fun and faith. I thank God for precious memories. Mealtime was the greatest of all times. We ate, drank, and were merry. Poor homes breed more honky-tonks, more pool halls, more slums than any department of hell can produce. We need to emphasize the human side of home. It is meant to produce the best society. This side of heaven, I remember a father who could laugh. I remember a mother who could cook. Many complain about preachers, that they are stiff, pompous, unnatural in the pulpit. Too many fathers fall into the same category. You never unbend, Dad. You're chairman of the board 8 hours a day downtown, and you're still chairman of the board when you get home. Your children are sick of the chairman of the board. You wouldn't know how to romp. You're an old man, and the family would like a new image. You look like a checkpoint, a monitor, like the death angel, a warden, a two-minute warning. You make home a barracks. You don't have to be a drunk, wicked, unfaithful to fill the house with dread. You just need to be occupied, cold, insensitive. Ask yourself as I preach, how much pleasure have I produced for my children? Tell good stories. Great stories at mealtime. The children will laugh better than your employees. Second, let us build a home about the altar. Be careful not to build a bias against religion. So many altars border upon boredom. It is the same prayers, the same 1, 2, 3. The family altar is meant to be a time when every member can pour out his or her heart from the eldest to the youngest. It is the family business with God. Children should sense this. Don't make them feel that religion is an elaborate make-believe. Prayer is direct conversation, not repeating lines. This is where and how reverence or respect is introduced and instilled. The peaks I ventured through the rungs of kitchen chairs. As I knelt at family worship, at my father's face, while he talked to God, have never been erased. They remain life's greatest argument for heaven and Creator. Let there be worship. It doesn't need to be a ritual. Today we're blessed with electronics, tapes, records, cassettes. Let the quartet sing. Let the soloist minister. Let the choir prepare us for our knees. You need not imprison your family with a worn agenda. Let the members of the circle bring an electronic contribution. Load the table with cheer for the outer man, and then load the altar with cheer for the inner man. Third, let us build the home about mother. There can be no nest without her. Pin-ups are no substitutes. A woman's influence must pervade the house. A babysitter is not a mother. She doesn't get mother's pay. A social worker is not a mother. She doesn't keep mother's hours. Mother has a lap and a bosom that are unique. There are more problems solved in these places than are solved by the United Nations. Parents, God is giving you this chance now. When my children were about me, the backward look is the lonely look. Dad, soon you'll walk the aisle to give your daughter's hand in marriage. Mother, soon you will spend the morning at the hairdresser's to be present that evening at your son's graduation. This is your one chance while they're at home. Please, prepare them for the world into which they're going. It is now an integrated world. Teach them that by precept and example. Let there be no second-class citizens. It is a world of multiple credits and risks. Help them to face budgets and ambitions without fear. Don't emphasize the negative. Make it a world of do's for them and not a world of don'ts. Make faith your legacy to your child, that all things are possible to him or to her who believeth. Give them health. You give them health when you give them the right music, the right athletics, the right literature. Sharpen their taste buds. Fourth, scour bad habits from the home. One of the worst is a promise made and not kept. That teaching is difficult to erase at college or in business. See that there are never evidences of liquors, tobacco, or drugs in the home. Never start the toboggan slide for your son or your daughter's ruin in your own home. You have too much invested to be careless. God intends you to be the trellis, the stake, the shaping instrument. There isn't an iota of truth in permissiveness. It's downhill all the way. Hell is always scouting for the unoccupied, uncommitted life. Devils love to homestead on such property. And never permit bad language. Do not permit trashy language. Good manners are always in taste. Teach your children to answer the phone and the door properly. Teach them to respond to each other properly with requests and thanks. Let communication in the home be a thing of beauty. Let the language be warm and full of grace. Fifth, let the home prepare the children for life. One of the best automobile drivers I've known said to me when I complimented him upon his expertise, "Brother Ward, my father taught me how to drive. He taught me the value, the power, and the limitations of the equipment I was to handle. He taught me to respect the rules of the road. He taught me to concentrate upon the job at hand." A mother, teach your daughter about her own body. Teach her first that it is a temple. It is a structure of extraordinary beauty, designed for desire. It is not a garage or a warehouse. It should be treated with dignity and expense, never neglected. Teach your daughter that within this temple there is a very, very secret hall where human beings are conceived. Tell her that heaven did not design it for a butcher shop. Teach your children the value of association. Bring the right guests to the house. See that the right papers and magazines are delivered. Hang the right pictures on the walls. Encourage the right companions to play and visit with your children. Laments are heavy, heavy burdens. They dilute the joy that is meant to be grandparents. Job says in the text, "They're all gone. The children are no longer with us." Suddenly you may say the same thing. There cannot be another chance. This is something you have to do right the first time. Yes, it's true. Children are a sacred trust. They are more than tax deductions. They're meant to be an investment. You should be clipping dividends for the rest of your life. Now, there are those among us whose dividends are forwarded directly by heaven. You have a child or children there. I met an influential full gospel businessman this year, a department store executive whose children, all of them, were taken in a single stroke in an automobile accident. As the children headed toward a youth service, that night, he and his wife were alone. And I thought as I sat on the platform with him of the lines which say, "I have a son, a third sweet son, his age I cannot tell, for they reckon not by years or months where he has gone to dwell. I cannot tell what form is his, what looks he weareth now, nor what a shining seraph crown adorns his holy brow, and such will never go wrong. No further intercession must be made for such. No watch at the front door must be kept. No weak spending money must be assigned. Such are housed and safe forever, yet they are forever a part of the family." So today is a vacant day for many of you. It's a day only of pictures, albums, letters, keepsakes. You have your memories. What was it really like when the house was full, before they all left? What kind of heaven did they know? What are your regrets? What would you say today to young families? I look back. We were poor but honorable. Mother took time after supper to restitch the softball for the next day's game. She always seemed to know more math than I did, and I wish she could have taken my examinations. I would have had better grades. She never permitted me to speak impudently to my sisters. My room was policed, my clothes placed on hangers. Dad took me to the bookshops and introduced me to the world of literature, to Dickens and Scott, to Longfellow and Whittier. Dad let me into the North Country and into the West. He took me to brush arbors and camp meetings. Yes, Home times, family times were good times. He taught me to shine and polish shoes. He taught me to cut kindling. He taught me that a man's word should be as good as his bond. And he taught me to love people. Oh, I love the family unit. There's none better. Where is there better hope than in your children? So, as so many times you tucked them in and committed them, then closed the door and climbed into your own bed, so you and I are heading toward the moment when without fear and without regret, we prepare ourselves to sleep together as parents at the foot of some hill. Rest in peace. You have no qualms, no alarms. While they were about you, you loved them wisely. You led their footsteps right. And your God will not let you down. He will bless you and your seed. O glorious day, then shall we meet at length after life's tempest, under a clear sky, and count our band, and find with keenest joy none wanting, love preserved in all its strength, then with refreshed, raptured hand in hand arise, a link in the bright chain of ransomed families. There's so many anxious among us. There's always this excitement when our Lord is present. Do not hesitate. Find your place with the rest of us at the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Above all else, remember that you're coming at his word. He bids you come. He wants you. When you feel the same way toward him, there are righteousness, peace, and joy. You experience the kingdom. Christ can and does forgive sins. You need not go one more second with the terrible drag on your soul, the awful load of condemnation. Through Jesus, you are reconciled with God. Calvary does cleanse. You need not remain defiled one more second with filthy, costly habits that stain you and weaken you physically, mentally, and socially. Jesus is the deliverer. Our wonderful Father, we praise thee for Jesus. He is thy only begotten Son, Savior, Messiah. We thank thee for the power and authority of Calvary. We are liberated from the bondage of sin. Satan has neither legal or moral right to our lives. We move and have our action in thy kingdom. I pray for the summer's graduate. May there be employment which justifies the cost of education. I pray for the bitter that again thy interaction will turn what seems to be a series of bad breaks around. I pray for the parent who has lost a child through an accident this past week. We need so much. We need comfort. We need openings. We need guidance. We need friends. We need provision. Please don't be ashamed of our needs, for we are not ashamed of thy supply. Amen. Make it a practice to talk with Jesus. And don't wait for the preacher to do it for you. I'm sure the Master has business with us. He's always about his Father's business. I feel definite about this. Jesus is moving toward one who is suffering from poison ivy. The irritation is unbearable. He wants you to have this witness of his resurrection, and he wants you to proclaim your experience of release. This is a lovely redemptive gift to you. It is not chance or lottery. It is his personal choice. You have been selected. Thank him and use your strength for him. I am his evangelist. This is the meeting. The Spirit of God gathers us by a network of stations. We have no desire to be engaged in numbers or to count physical assets. We glory in his impact upon people. The meeting in the air has been announced in the Bible. The dead in Christ will rise first. Invitation and transportation by the Spirit of God only. So please open yourselves to the ministry of the Spirit. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.